This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So much NFL news going on right now. We're going to get you up to date on all the latest. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Quarterbacks, Pearl, and teams that need them. That's really at the top of the list now because free agency is about to get going. And we had Sam Darnold, who was basically let go, cut free, if you will, by the Minnesota Vikings. They're not going to franchise tag him, so he's going to be out there on the open market.
Right, although he might come back to the Vikings.
Possible, but no strings attached. You do have Aaron Rodgers out there with no strings attached. We're not sure exactly who Pittsburgh is going to say goodbye to, but all reports are leaning that they're going to keep Justin Fields, so Russell Wilson is going to be out there. Kirk Cousins is currently a backup quarterback right now at Atlanta, so maybe he's out there. But for a team like the Las Vegas Raiders, it's just a massive decision because as Shedeur Sanders' draft stock seems to be falling and falling, I think it's no longer the slam dunk, oh, he'll just go play with Tom Brady and Pete Carroll, because there are not a lot of people who are confident that Shador's a top 10 pick right now.
No, but I'm starting to wonder if the whole thing is a bit deceiving, confusing, in the sense that I have a theory, and okay. I think it's been floated on the show that Shedeur is mailing in his interviews because he either knows where he wants to go or he wants to go a certain place. So if he came off as disinterested in an interview, it's because he's literally not interested. And I think that maybe some of the Shedeur fall is media hype, and because these teams need quarterbacks so badly.
Or it's calculated. Right. By the Sanders family.
Right. Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of mock drafters who have them falling to the 20s or below. But I think part of the problem is these teams need quarterbacks so badly. The situation is laid out that I think they're going to really stretch to take someone.
I want to get you to some sound here from our pal Diana Rossini, who has her great podcast with Chase Daniel called Scoop City. And Diana's been super plugged in with this whole Matthew Stafford situation before he went back to the Rams. So here was Diana yesterday talking about how the Raiders were so devastated to not get Stafford.
You talk to people at the Raiders and they were crushed that they did not get Matthew Stafford, which tells me that they really thought that they had a shot.
Crushed. Emphasis on crushed. That they really thought they were getting him. Here's more from Diana.
You talk to the Giants. They were a little cooler about it. They weren't as emotionally scarred by the fact that Matthew Stafford wasn't going to be there. They sort of had that mindset. All right, on to the next. But I do believe that both teams thought they had a good chance.
Emotionally scarred. Crushed. Emotionally scarred. It was a fling.
Crushed.
It was a ski slope fling. That was always going to be a bit of a long shot, Pearl, because you would have had to come up with, you know, trade compensation for Stafford that the Rams would have, you know, had to agree to, plus the money. You know, it was fun to talk about, but hearing the fact that the Raiders are crushed and emotionally scarred by not getting Stafford, do you think, where do you think their next move is after this?
Yeah, I mean, it seems simple. Take Shedeur Sanders at number 6, and then you can change the narrative immediately. You have a quarterback of the future. To me, Shedeur Sanders is a bit of a system quarterback, but they have Chip Kelly, who's got a strong-minded offensive coach, and Pete Carroll. Feels like they can make this work. If they're really crushed by Matthew Stafford not being there, then what better way than to go the opposite direction, go young, and bring him in? And then it makes it seem like you knew what you were doing all along.
Yeah, like, no, 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 we always wanted Shedeur. Well, I'm not sure about that because, you know, a couple things with the Raiders. Remember before Pete Carroll got hired? There was a report that Brady may have been interested in teaming back up with Belichick. And Belichick took the North Carolina job, so it took him out of the running. But when Belichick may not have been a thing, they didn't pivot and go to a 36-year-old head coach. They stayed.
Well, they tried, right? They offered Ben Johnson,
but okay, he's the one guy. Yeah. But then they ultimately hired Pete Carroll. There were other younger guys they could have gone with, but they went with the more experienced guy. They were crushed, emphasis, that they couldn't get Matthew Stafford, and I'm wondering if this means we want a veteran. And Max Crosby came out yesterday and said, how about, you know, Aaron Rodgers seems nice to me. I wonder if it does tip their hand. Like, if you're so crushed you didn't get Matthew Stafford, you go, okay, well, we'll pivot to the next, you know, older guy who we think could be successful.
Wow, that logic makes sense. You know, they're not being linked by the insiders to the Raiders very much. And I don't know why.
Who, Rodgers?
Rodgers, yeah. Everyone says it's the Giants are bust for Rodgers. You know what? It makes sense. I can't think of a downside. If you're going to go with Stafford, why not go with Rodgers? Less long-term investment, less risk. You kind of have a one-year solution there. I think maybe Stafford, you could argue that's 2 or 3 years. That gives you a little more runway. But Rodgers is similar. I mean, they don't win with Rodgers immediately. They probably don't win with Stafford immediately either. The whole thing is a little bit messed up. Why they wanted to give $100 million for 2 years to Stafford with a 73-year-old coach? Because they would have ended up with nobody in 2 years. I guess if that's the thinking and they stick with it, Rodgers does make perfect sense.
Because I'm thinking about Chip Kelly, right? We're talking about what kind of offenses does he run. And a lot of times he'll like, you know, more running quarterbacks or whatever, you know, how he coached at Oregon and things like that. But if you were willing to have Matthew Stafford's not running. You know, Matthew Stafford is more of a classic pocket passer. Same with Aaron Rodgers at this point. Rodgers is not escaping like he used to, not post Achilles tear.
How about you do Rodgers and Shedeur?
Well, I don't hate that either.
Or Dart, or one of the...
Yeah, sure.
How about a second... Yeah,
the pairing. The only thing is 6'2 rich now for Shedeur? Like, I'm starting to buy a little bit, and maybe this will burn me. I'm starting to buy in a little bit to the Shedeur Sanders falling and all these mocks.
I mean, me too.
Chris Trapasso joined us yesterday, draft Nick for CBS Sports, and said his comp was David Garrard. No, I'm sorry, that was Cam Ward. The comp for Shedeur was a cross between Teddy Bridgewater and Geno Smith.
Yeah, which, like, by the way, I was pretty psyched about. I'm like, ooh.
But those guys aren't generational talents here, like top six picks.
Teddy Bridgewater was pretty darn good before he got hurt. But that's beside, I know what you're saying. I do think the top of the second round is still an option. Trading back in the first round is also an option. I think Aaron Rodgers and a young guy, say you get, let's say, Quinn Ewers at the top of the second round. That's a nice little combo. I could buy that. I'd feel better about
Will Howard, who was with Chip Kelly last year at Ohio State.
Oh, in like the fifth round or sixth round? That he feels like more of a backup to me. I think I would take guys with higher upside. And besides, Chip Kelly didn't even trust Will Howard last year. Why would he trust him now?
Fair. 855-212-4227. So anyway, Raiders absolutely crushed. Are you surprised by that they really thought they were going to get Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of reporting. That being said, I'm not sure, like, who is Diana talking to? Was this Tom Brady?
Crushed.
Was this somebody who's like fourth in the front office who's just a big Matthew Stafford fan? And thought,
someone just waving the pom-pom? No, I think Diana's very well sourced. You know, she's got the inside, I think, not only from the Raiders part of this, but I think from the Rams part too.
But did anyone really think that that was going to happen?
Well, I think the Raiders did.
Well, I think we all knew. I said it on the Friday right before we left. Obviously, Stafford is using this as leverage. I mean, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out exactly what's going on. Did anyone, I know we made 2 weeks of content out of it, but did anyone think Matthew Stafford wasn't going to be a Ram?
Yeah, I thought there was a possibility. I did, you know, because there's this idea maybe that Sean McVay thinks that he can win with anybody, or, you know, that they really have this bigger team building thing in mind. Now, let's keep this at the top of the dome. We still don't know the money.
Yeah, I totally disagree with that, because to have a team that's on the brink of a Super Bowl and to gut your quarterback room makes zero sense. And to be a 3-14 team and to sign a 2-year $100 million deal makes even less sense. Like, it's never happened. It never will happen. It would have been crazy. I mean, that's the thing about the Raiders and the Giants. It would have been insane.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it a little bit more than you did as far as just a return to respectability. People on the Giants side trying to keep their jobs, not loving the quarterbacks in this draft, trying to take a big swing. I understood it more than you did, but yeah, I understand. 855-212-4227. Like, I understand where you're coming from. On Wednesdays, we do something called the Great Debate. And today, we are taking some things loosely based on the news. The Mavericks trading Luka Doncic away from Dallas. Wildly unpopular, except for LA. And on Saturday night, John Cena turned heel from the WWE. Very unpopular. So we're asking you, what is the most unpopular moment in the history of sports? And I'll just go around the horn quickly. We did this last hour. We do it at 8 a.m. Eastern on Wednesdays. Quickly, I'll go around the horn of what we all did. I said LeBron James's decision. EJ said the Indianapolis Colts leaving Baltimore in the middle of the night to go to Cleveland. You could have also done Cleveland going to Indianapolis. You could have also done Cleveland leaving in the middle of the night to go to Baltimore. We've had a couple of these. Manny went with Jim Joyce, the now infamous umpire, stealing a perfect game from Armando Galarraga. Andrew Bogish decided to go with the original superstar wrestler turning heel with Hulk Hogan when he did that and shocked everybody. And Perloff went with the Saints in the NFC Championship game, getting hosed on a no-call, costing them a trip to the Super Bowl.
But his heart wanted Merkel's boner.
That sounds weird, but yes.
No, I think that's right on the nose.
Yeah, I had this list that Merkel's boner was on, which is a famous play from 1908, where this guy missed second base, it won the pennant, everybody stormed the field, and the guy on the other team touched second base, and the game was over. Which reminded me
of a body part anyone wanted to see.
Has that ever happened where, I think it has, where fans have rushed the crowd and ended up losing the game? I think that's happened a couple times. I do remember LSU Kentucky when they poured the Gatorade and the team lost anyway.
I love that clip. One of my favorites.
That's funny. If the fans stormed the field, they lost anyway. I thought you were asking if someone missed a base.
That's what I thought too.
Because that's also happened.
Even though the Mets still won that game.
Yep.
This list was the worst moments in sports, which is kind of what we're talking about here. Yeah. They had a lot of good ones. They had almost everyone we mentioned, and Jim Marshall running the wrong way for a touchdown with the Vikings.
Oh, but that's an amazing
best blooper ever.
It's incredible. We're talking for the most unpopular moments in sports. Yeah. Let's go to our pal George, who's in LA. George, what do you think? Most unpopular moment was what?
Let me go back to 1995 when Georgia Frontieri, the witch of L.A. Rams, moved the Rams from L.A. to St. Louis. The Rams had been in Los Angeles for 50 years. They were very popular. And, of course, the Raiders. She was extremely controversial. She ran the Rams to the ground. It was a very difficult situation in St. Louis because they basically gave her everything to go there. But Chip Rosenblum was the son-in-law, and he signed the contract and said 20 years later, if they're not NFL-ready, the Edward Jones Dome, the Rams could return. That's exactly what happened. So it wasn't like they stood St. Louis. The Rams just went back home.
Yeah. You know, George, we have so many of these, you know, unfortunately, and thank you for the phone call, of franchises moving cities and all of that stuff. The most devastating one, I mean, that's going to be like beauty in the eye of the beholder. We still don't have the NBA in Seattle, although I think everybody would love it. Vancouver still doesn't have an NBA team after they left. Obviously, St. Louis doesn't have a football team anymore. Now, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Indy all do have NFL teams.
Right. Now, when are they ever going to get New York a real NFL team, too, is a question.
Oh boy.
Whatever.
You got
You're
one.
Setting me
They're
up.
Called
I was
the
trying,
Buffalo
to,
Bills.
Trying to think of something.
Doug is in Pennsylvania. Doug, the most unpopular moment in the history of sports was what?
Well, for me, it would be Lance Armstrong and the Tour de Force winning all those and then lying about cheating, taking illegal drugs, because he's representing, you know, the United States in that global competition. So that would be my vote there.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. We didn't have any, like, liars in this one, right? Like, the people, like Lance Armstrong, Pearl, who I think the toughest part about Lance is not just that he was cheating when he won, what is it, 7 Tour de France's? Doug, thank you for the call. But that he took out all this vengeance on people who dared say that he was doping, even though he knew he was, and the whole Livestrong thing, which was giving so much hope to people who are recovering from cancer. So in a way, such an admirable thing that he did, but it felt like it was based on a lie.
Yeah.
Right. But do you think of that as an unpopular moment? He became an unpopular person.
Oh, he's kind of sportsy. We could do a separate debate. Who's sports evil? And he's on that list.
Yeah, fall from grace, stuff like that.
I mean, who's the biggest liar? Is that the biggest liar? I mean, I think of Barry Bonds.
We've had some pretty big lies.
Rafael Palmeiro.
A lot of steroid liars.
Marion Jones was a liar. I mean, Ryan Braun.
Are there any non-steroid liars?
Tiger Woods.
Oh, lied to his wife?
I'm a family man. He was not a family man. That's clear.
What makes you say that?
Someone's family.
Athletes cheating. I don't know.
Yeah, we
kind of hard to stand out. I mean, Tiger, you're right, did sort of stand out in that.
We only have a 4-hour show, guys. Andrew's in Missouri. Andrew, the most unpopular moment in the history of sports was what?
I say Steve Bartman catching the ball at the Cubs game, most famous one I can remember.
You know, it was an all-time debacle, right, Andrew? We all remember where we were, and Steve Bartman with the turtleneck. Thank you for the call. With the headphones on, the old school transistor radio, but the Walkman headphones, and he's got the hat on, the glasses. He looks like he's already in witness protection. Meanwhile, he would like basically have to go in witness protection, bro. I don't know if I think of that as unpopular. I think that is a
unpopular Chicago.
Well, yeah.
I saw on some list.
It's a little more like one of your Merkel boners.
Jeffrey Mayer interfering with the home run. That's unpopular because a lot of people thought the Yankees got an edge in that one.
That was clean.
I think in the Cubs, people just felt bad for the Cubs.
And we never know what happened to Steve Bartman after.
Someone did a doc about him.
Did his 30 for 30.
Yeah.
They found him.
Did they go?
There's no video footage of them finding him, but they did find him allegedly.
I mean, how does your heart not go out to him a little bit, right? Does anyone see him as a sympathetic figure? He's getting death threats.
Yeah, definitely. It went too far, obviously.
And now the Cubs have won the World Series, so the curse is broken.
I think the hope was that once they won, he would come out and they could kind of embrace him. And that didn't happen because he's led a life of anonymity, which I would understand given what he went through.
Yeah, it's like Bill Buckner is now making fun of what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill Buckner passed. Sorry. Yeah. But I just recently watched the episode where he was on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he made peace with it. Jackie Smith obviously made peace with his drop in the end zone. So, but yeah, I'm not mad. We're talking about missed calls and biting ears and things. I'm not mad at Steve. No one's mad at Steve Bartman. I think people feel bad for him.
Yeah, it probably went from anger in the moment to then a little bit of pity because the avalanche of criticism. And he was a true fan.
I think initially,
crushed.
I think initially I was mad. And I'm not a Cubs fan. And I know I'm a Mets fan, but I didn't have any hatred for the Marlins. I think it felt like we were going to watch history. They were going to win the World Series. We were going to break this curse. I think for the sports fan, it was anger because it was like, come on, bro.
You got it 13 years later.
I know, but in the moment, it was definitely... That's why people were upset.
People are way more mad at the Astros.
Definitely.
Very unpopular. Maybe that one should have been on our list. Boo, unpopular moment is when we found out that they were banging trash cans.
That is talking about cheating scandals. That one was...
Yeah, people were ticked off about that. Still are.
I still am, yes.
I know, Manny's not over it.
Damn right,
I feel like if that didn't happen to the Yankees, I feel like that would be even worse now. Like, we would still be those guys, all those players. And I say this is with a Yankee anti-bias here. I feel like there wasn't enough sympathy for the Yankees.
Was not enough sympathy.
Right. I think because it was the Yankees, I think we kind of moved on a little quicker.
The Dodgers, too, who they beat in the World Series.
Right. The Dodgers, the same thing.
Had this happened to, the Royals, you're saying, maybe?
I totally feel that way. If it was the Cubs going for the World Series that they not won yet, I think we would never forgive the Astros.
Sure,
I think a lot of those guys would be...
The Yankees are also the evil empire.
Exactly.
The Dodgers spend more money than God. These are not lovable losers who got hosed by the Astros. Yeah,
exactly.
In many ways,
the Astros were kind of seen as even though they were a lot better than that Yankee team that year, they were kind of seen as this upstart organization that tanked for years and now they're really good.
No, they always said they were smarter than everybody.
Did.
Well, how'd that go?
Mm.
I mean, they got some hardware out of it, but also tarnished.
Pretty good.
855-212-4227. Yeah. That's what the commissioner called it, a hunk of metal, the World Series trophy, because people said you should take it away from him. He goes, what does it matter? It's just a hunk of metal.
Piece of metal.
Yeah, go get him, Rob. 855-212-4227, the most unpopular sports moment of all time. Plus, guys, I got an update for you. This one's exciting, and we're all going to get to guess who's going to be headlining this very big event. I'll tell you about it next, M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Great debate Wednesday. Most unpopular or disliked moment in sports history. We have a wide range of choices. Of course, I did not have the guts to pick the ultimate one, Merkel's boner, yep. 1908, Cubs-Cardinals.
Still talking about it all these years
later.
Feels
like yesterday. We have some bad calls on here. We have teams moving. We have infamous sports moments like biting Mike Tyson, biting Evander Holyfield's ear. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about pro wrestling because this all started with John Cena's heel turn. Am I the only one here who likes the bad guy in wrestling? Like, I feel like it's not unpopular to go bad guy. When I was a kid, Roddy Piper was the most popular wrestler, and yeah, he was a bad guy. Like, everybody likes the bad guy, right?
Yeah,
in wrestling.
This was like, it's so stunning with Cena because he had just not only built the persona inside the ring as a good guy, but outside the ring with all the Make-A-Wish Foundation stuff. Like, it was, he really didn't want you to see a difference between the character and himself.
Yeah, but so...
Roddy Piper, he wasn't walking around, like, beating people's faces in.
Right, but, I mean, it's obviously The Rock would turn bad guy, and nobody thinks The Rock is in Mr. Charity. Like, I think that it's just, to me, like, I'm more interested in John Cena now that he's a bad guy. I kind of like this, and I'm more likely to root for... Am I the only one that roots for the bad guy in wrestling? Of course you do, right?
Well, but by the way, The Rock will come out afterwards and say... Guys, it's just a character. Haven't you noticed that since he turned heel? He did this on the Netflix show. He's done this a couple times. Am I right about this, EJ?
Yeah, I mean, well, in the press conference after the show, he was like, oh, yeah, this is a great story.
Yeah, I mean,
he
adult
wants to
fans
even make
know
sure,
the deal.
I know, but they're not talking to just adults, right? They're talking to kids, too.
Yeah, I mean.
And their images, I don't know.
Also,
anyway,
John Cena has done some very interesting films lately. Have you guys noticed that, too?
I haven't seen anything he's been in a long time.
Oh, my God. The one, what was the special, the superhero thing he did?
Yeah, what was that?
Oh, Peacemaker was awesome.
Yeah, that was very, very adult, very blue. And then he did this movie where he was this made up, he was a male stripper who was pretend friends with guys. It was a big Amazon movie. Did you see that?
No.
He was hysterical. He does very, very R-rated movies. So if he's playing good guy out there, trust me, he's got another persona.
Well, I know he said that he thought he was being hazed when he had to go on to the Oscars naked.
That was a memorable moment.
Yeah.
Not so much unpopular.
Not sure. Some demographics sure love that.
From one corner of the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was called Ricky Sinicky. Did anybody see this on Amazon?
Yes. I didn't watch it, but I heard of it.
He was very, very funny. He's a good actor.
He urinated on himself in an airport, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
That got dumped.
Can't say that? Trust your radio?
The word, the Pete handbook is you can't talk about an act on something.
That is true.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't, you can be pissed off,
yes,
but you can't be all
peed
on.
Yeah. I didn't say it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We love walking right up to the line.
That's not the line. You could absolutely say that 100%.
Yes, you could.
Pete's line.
Yeah. I don't know why you guys thought Pete was like the head of the FCC for all those years.
He told us he was.
Moonlights as.
I mean, he was in charge of the button, so he was like, it was his rules, and he would not have liked the Merkel's boner segment.
I am not a compulsive gambler.
Has he watched the Pat McAfee show?
Well, is this the Pat McAfee show?
This is not Pat McAfee.
Again, I mean, listen. Yeah, there
if
are a lot of radio
would just
shows
give
that
us
go
a little
way,
more
way, way, way further than
we'll
us.
Sit back, you say or spell whatever words you want. We'll see what happens.
Exclamation point.
I was going to say, Pete did save my rear end because I did not know that you couldn't spell slang terms for women's anatomy. and kick saving a beauty by Pete because it turns out you can't.
Turns out you can. I've been here for 4 years, and I've honestly not heard one peep of anything crossing the line except from one person in the building.
Ryan Hickey.
No.
Well, Hickey definitely.
No, I'm saying one person has said something. Bilotti. That's the only person, nobody from management or any affiliate has ever brought up anything.
What
just the guy
say?
Who sits right there.
Forget the bugs.
Oh, we got the Hickey cut, right?
All right, definitely you guys think that. About that.
Yeah, well, you know, he was talking about Russell Westbrook, and he was like, oh, yeah, this effing guy. Totally didn't think.
Slipped.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, obvious.
That's different.
But I've heard some theories on Pete, what's crossing the line, that are just ridiculous. And you guys are all like, yeah, that's gospel. Well, I just laugh because I listen to radio. 10 times worse things happen all the time, every day.
Yes, but so a couple of things. In Pete's defense, a lot of the things that Pete went by were things he was told by previous management.
Yeah.
True.
How is that defense? I know the previous management.
No, you don't know the original management.
Like, yeah, but why would you listen to those people?
Because they're the boss.
They were the bosses at one point, yeah.
And?
And they told us what they wanted on their
right,
airwaves.
But you realize that was their personal choice.
Right. Yes, I know.
But Pete states it like it's some federal law out there about what you're allowed to say and not say. Just be some random dude set a guideline.
So, but here's the thing. Yeah. We have to watch this video about what you can say and what you can't say on the air. This is how I know you can't spell the word that I spelled. This is also, I know you can't curse in Espanol. You can't curse in any other language. Also against the rules. That's actually a video we were mandated to watch.
What?
You didn't watch the video, the company video about what you can say, what you can't say on the air?
No, is that part of our video?
Yes.
I actually have never seen that one.
Yeah.
I also feel like just in our conversations with new bosses that like we're also more in a more conservative lane.
Yes, our rules are different than WFAN's rules because they're on only around here. We have multiple different stations and communities that we have to you know.
Like there were things that he said we should not be doing, or that he said he preferred.
New York is a soulless cesspool. Obviously, we all know that.
Yeah,
basically say anything
right.
You want.
I think we need to push the boundary more.
Go ahead.
All right.
Merkel's boner.
I feel like every time, for the little guy.
I feel like there's so many times where we do, and then Pearl's just like, we should go to break. This is getting a little.
Yeah, seriously, you're right.
Yeah, but that was racy, guys.
This is not a discussion about what you can and cannot say. It is a discussion how you guys blindly assume that Pete Bilotti is making real rules. Like, these are like federally mandated rules.
How about
like a guy who can fill two different holes?
Yeah.
I just think. I just think that you guys are like, well, Pete said that it's not allowed. It's not allowed. What?
Well, it's not allowed to the effect that Pete's going to dump it. And some of the things are not allowed. And also the caveat is you can only get in trouble for saying any of those words if somebody reports you. Like there's no 24/7 monitoring service where alarms are going off if you curse. So you can theoretically, you can say whatever you wanted right now and get lucky that no one files a complaint with here or the FCC.
Curve to the left. Have you ever been fined?
No.
But that's because Bogus is a pro.
Has anyone you know ever been fined?
No, because most people know where they can and can't go.
Guy's got a set on him.
CBS was definitely fined for the Janet Jackson thing.
That's true.
I bet they got
a couple calls on that one, though, because I'm assuming maybe 100 million people are watching that one. I think we're at 90 million. speaking of a big audience, actually, this is a great segue. I don't even think you meant to do it. But I want to go around the room because I saw a bit of news just dropped. And Bogus, I hope I'm not stepping on your update here. Turns out 2026 FIFA World Cup, the most watched sporting event in the world, is going to be happening here in North America. We'll now have a halftime show for the final. So MetLife Stadium, they're going to have a halftime show, first time ever in the history of the World Cup. So let's call it now, around the horn. Who do you think gets booked to be the halftime show? Because I already got mine.
I go Shakira.
I was going to say Pitbull.
Feels like Shakira does all the soccer stuff.
Yeah, she definitely did the Colombia,
America
thing. That was a disaster. Not her. It was the game was a disaster.
I will go with, and it's funny because the Caribbean doesn't really play soccer, but I'll go with Bad Bunny.
I thought about him too. Pearl off Bogus. You guys want to go
Shakira. Like
Coldplay?
I doubled down
something
on
like that. Could there be another big band, European band? U2? Reunion?
The Beatles, maybe?
<That'd> be gruesome.
Holograms of three of them?
I guess the question I would have is, do you feel like there has to be a North American act? because it's in North America.
I don't think so.
No, it's definitely going to be a global.
I think. Like, I don't think they could do Kendrick Lamar. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think that. But I was thinking, like, you know, is, you know, Jennifer Lopez on the table? Who mentioned Bad Bunny?
I think Bad Bunny and Pitbull are in the area of people that check off all of the boxes.
What about something like, do you go, what's that boy band, BTS or something?
South Korean, the K-pop group? Yeah, BTS. Yeah, I mean, they could go K-pop as well.
Something like that?
Wait, I don't understand. Why would they go K-pop for the North American?
Just international.
Just something more global.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they'd go more somebody from this hemisphere.
I don't think Taylor Swift fits.
No.
I mean, could you do like a Beyonce, Jay-Z?
Who did the last World Cup?
No, are you serious? This is the first time they're ever doing it.
Oh.
No, I really thought they did it.
That's the news.
What did Shakira, like, yeah, but she did that big World Cup concert, remember?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, that was like such a thing.
Yeah. They said the 2026 FIFA Men's World Cup final in the U.S. will break with tradition and have a Super Bowl style halftime show, according to Gianni Infantino.
Usually, oh, really? That was Gianni who said that? Usually, the performances that happen before the World Cup final happen before the game. It's never halftime.
Got it. So that's a thing.
Yeah, makes sense.
No, didn't Shakira have her heart broken by a soccer player?
Yes, that was Gerard Piqué.
She performed after that happened? Or could she be anti-soccer at the moment?
You got to show him what he's missing.
Wow, talk about time is flying. So her World Cup song was 2010.
Yeah, Waka Waka.
Yeah, I can't believe that. That was already that long ago? Waka.
Yeah. A lot happened in 2010.
She also did the Super Bowl not that long ago.
Yeah, but she created a song for the World Cup. Yeah, that's why I always say
it was the
2010. Yeah, they got to bring her back.
All right.
Remember, the Colombian head coach criticized Shakira for her halftime show going too long and them losing. So is she also spurned by, like,
the international soccer community?
Wait, I have a question. You said J-Lo. Is she still touring? J-Lo?
I think she is, actually.
Is she still doing music? I have not seen. I've heard much about that in a while.
I feel like she would get out of bed for this.
How about Beyonce?
Get the band back together for this one.
Oh, how about Beyonce?
Beyonce is always an option for this. One of the greatest, if not the greatest.
I mean, she did the Thanksgiving game.
Right, and that was a
Thanksgiving game, World Cup final. Same.
She did. It was better than the halftime show.
It was the best thing that happened that
there
day.
Was more production.
Besides the fact that they handed out a trophy and then it turned out it was a cake.
Yeah, well, that's always fun.
Well, Beyonce did Christmas, not Thanksgiving.
Oh, right.
Was that Christmas?
I'm pretty sure it's Christmas.
Yeah, that's what the was. Because
it was like it was the NBA versus Beyonce, not the NFL.
Yeah, it was the Netflix game.
Netflix game.
I remember how massive the production was.
Oh my gosh,
gigantic. Yeah, she'd be good. I'll vote Beyonce versus the field. Who did you have?
I had Pitbull.
Pitbull. Okay.
All right, guys, get ready. Halftime show coming your way.
What's the stakes here? Does if we win?
2-year bet. That's a long time. I like it, though.
For halftime?
Well, they could have announced it earlier, I guess, in theory.
What was that, shaving an eyebrow? Bogus says headlines. No.
A reported NFL trade this morning. The Chiefs reportedly sending Pro Bowl guard Joe Tooney to the Bears, who acquired interior O-lineman Jonah Jackson from the Rams just yesterday. This deal, I guess, keeps KC away from giving Tooney a third big contract. It's similar to what they did with Tyreek Hill, parting ways with him a few years ago.
Meanwhile, Chicago, they're trying to take away offensive linemen after what we just saw in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Are they going to sign like Ronnie Stanley or one of those big free agents?
I got to tell you, after what we saw in the Super Bowl, easy to say goodbye to Tooney. He didn't win a single block, it seemed like. Although, a tackle. He wasn't supposed to be playing tackle. Right? No, he was healthy. He was playing out of position, but he just got mauled.
As Maggie mentioned earlier this morning, the Lakers and Warriors keep climbing up the Western Conference standings. LA alone in second this morning after its seventh straight win, 136-115 at home over the Pelicans. Head coach J.J. Redick.
We play hard. We compete. Tonight wasn't perfect with some of the execution stuff, but we more than made up for it with our effort at times.
LeBron scored 34 last night, becoming the first player with 50,000 points between the regular season and playoffs. Golden State got a 114-102 win at the Garden. They've won 7 of 8. They're the 6th seed at the moment, a half game clear of that play-in. So Steve Kerr's a proud head coach.
You know, on the road, on a back-to-back against a great team, and kind of hanging in there when shots weren't going in the first half. Just liked how solid we were for the whole 48.
They outscored the Knicks by 20 over the last 24 minutes of that game to get the W. The Suns topped the Clippers 119-117 after trailing by 19 through 3. The Cavaliers extended their third double-digit win streak of the season to 11, 139-117 in Chicago. The Bucks topped the Hawks 127-121. Giannis had 26 points, 12 boards, 10 assists, and we got some drama in Orlando.
They're going for the win. Walter, three, good! Oh! Down the bottom of the well! It's down the bottom of the well for Jakobi Walter with 0.5 of a second to go!
That's from Raptors Radio, Jakobi Walter's three, giving Toronto a 114-113 win over the Magic. Men's number 22, Texas A&M, snapping a four-game skid in style, getting its first ever win over number one, 83-72 over Auburn. 10th-ranked Iowa State came up short at home in overtime, 88-85 to number 23 BYU. That game actually in double OT. The Devils and Stars almost went to OT last night in Dallas.
7 seconds left. Here's Harley, his wrister. He scores! Thomas Harley! 3.9 seconds left. The Stars pull a rabbit out of their hat late.
Thomas Harley, the game winner in the dying seconds of regulation. The Stars 4, the Devils 3. And George Mason Baseball scored 23 runs in the top of the third inning yesterday. Damn. Against Holy Cross. Those are the most runs scored in a single at-bat in NCAA history. 21 was the old mark done by Wichita State back in 84. Penn State the year before that. Mason won that game 26-6 in the end yesterday. Guys, back to you.
No mercy rule or anything?
Mm-mm. Ugh. These are grown-ups.
What happened the rest of the game? Is 23 in one inning and then three runs the rest of the way?
Yeah. What do you mean they're grown? The World Baseball Classic has mercy rule.
That's the World Baseball Classic.
Does it really?
I actually
didn't know that.
Brazil beat China yesterday 12-2 in
Look
qualifiers.
Look at the eyes. Why are you so excited about this?
Because it's the World Baseball Classic. It's fun.
I've never seen many. I mean, this.
I didn't like that. That was off-putting. Your eyes got so big there. No thanks.
I like baseball.
The pros aren't playing, though, right, this year?
Some of them are. Like, the Colombian team had to qualify, and Gio Urshela was on that team. Julio Teheran was also. I mean, like, some of these countries, like some of the bigger countries, yeah, they did call some of the players that are playing in MLB.
Perloff, do you know Gio Urshela?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pitcher, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
855-212-4227. Okay, lots to do. We're asking you, what is the most unpopular moment in the history of sports? We get back to you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
In a minute. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, on this fine Wednesday. We're asking you, what is the most unpopular sports moment of all time? And, you know, we all had different, really, approaches to this one, Perloff. Yours was a bad referee call, the NFC Championship game, the Saints and the Rams, the no call specifically. Manny kind of went the same direction as you with Jim Joyce, the infamous umpire who robbed Armando Galarraga of a perfect game. Just stuff that really made your blood boil. I said the decision because LeBron James' decision to leave Cleveland, just it spurned a whole city and area, state almost. You know, the backlash from the owner was swift. People burned his jersey. And he had to turn heel, quite frankly, for a little bit. And it really didn't suit him. EJ went with the Baltimore Colts leaving in the middle of the night to go to Indianapolis. It was Jim Irsay's dad who did that. And Bogish also went with a wrestling that was the original Hulk Hogan turning heel, which had jaws on the floor when it happened, Bash on the Beach. What about you? Let's go to Nadal, who's in Dallas. Nadal, the most unpopular moment in the history of sports was what?
Good morning. I don't know if I'm qualified to say of all time, but I'm just going to throw opinions out there. Number one, I told EJ I'm going to start with Dennis Rodman kicking the photographer, if you remember that.
That was unsavory. It really was, and Rodman had to apologize for it. I think he was suspended for it.
He was suspended 11 games and $25,000 fine, which is nothing. But just the look on that photographer's face, we see it in TV or movies, but in real life, to see that chilling look of pain and shock at the same time was uncomfortable, to say the least.
Yeah.
Another one, you mentioned LeBron with the city and the area. I have to go with Roy Williams leaving in the middle of the night to go to Carolina, leaving KU.
Ooh.
When he said specifically, yep, I'm never going to leave, but Dean Smith said, you know, the first time I asked if you know, we want you, but now I need you. So Roy, he's a good old Carolina boy. He left. And we did not get over that for a few years. And then another one I'm going to mention, I heard Bogish was a big soccer fanatic like me. I got to go with Zizou, Zinedine Zidane in the 2010 World Cup final.
Oh, the headbutting
Materazzi.
Yeah, 06 final. Nadal, three really good ones, and thank you so much for being patient weighing in there. We didn't do any coaches leaving, which he said Roy Williams leaving, and I remember that was a famous interview that he did with a friend of ours, Bonnie Bernstein, right after Kansas had lost the national championship game, and Bonnie, you know, the story had come out that Roy Williams was going to leave to go to North Carolina, and Bonnie pressed him on it, and he got ticked off about it, and she was great and stood her ground because it was a legitimate story. It was a huge story at the time. you know, you could have done Pat Riley leaving the Knicks was another one that devastated people.
Called them Pat the Rat.
Pat left the Knicks for,
still is.
He left for the Heat. I don't know that story.
Yep.
Yeah, he was offered ownership stake in the Heat and just quit.
What about college? What about college football coaches?
Go back to one thing. Yeah. I don't know this Dennis Rodman story at all. Was he a Bull or a Spur?
This was a Bulls when he kicked the guy.
No, I don't know that one.
Yeah, this was in Minnesota. I was pulling up the play because I actually wanted to have a sound.
Was it during the championship run? Obviously.
Yeah, yeah. It was during that three-peat. Yeah.
I mean, is the guy hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like he kicks the guy after he falls into the stands, and the guy looks at him like, "Oh my god!" And then he starts grabbing his leg because he realized he was actually injured.
The Zinedine Zidane was a shocking moment. I think on par with Tyson biting Evander Holyfield's ear, which Sean in Oregon brought up earlier in the show. And he got ejected, obviously, immediately. And it just felt like such a disappointing, anticlimactic ending. Italy ends up winning the World Cup, obviously, right? There was Italy won the World Cup.
Italy against France in 06 and Germany. But, I mean, the big thing also about Zidane getting shown red in that final was that was the last time we saw Zidane on the pitch.
Mm.
That was his last game of his career. This guy who was an illustrious career, won a World Cup with France back in 98, and, you know, they had the chance to finish his international career with a World Cup final championship as well, and he ended up just headbutting the Italian dude, and yeah, that was the last time we saw Zidane on the pitch.
Stunning. But now he's a coach, right?
Out of work, but yes.
Could have done
was a coach.
Could have done some biting in the soccer realm, too. That would have been fun.
Well, I mean, we do have some people that do bite. Luis Suarez.
Yeah, Suarez was a biter.
It still is. He's had two biting incidents. So, I mean, there's something wrong with soccer players.
You know, if you want to do ridiculous fights, how about Todd Bertuzzi in hockey, too?
That's crazy.
Yeah, just
that guy.
There are a lot of times, we mentioned Rudy Tomjanovich hitting Kermit Washington. I think that was a mistake, actually. But irrational fights out of nowhere.
Yeah, we went with unpopular. You know, it was a little bit different. Unpopular moves, like where no matter who you are, what side you're on, you just hated watching it in the moment. James is in L.A. He's got another one. Good morning, James.
Hey, how's it going, y'all? Hey, yeah, I was listening to y'all, man. I'm starting to become an avid listener. Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, I started off with the restaurant thing. I said, y'all left off Carl's Jr. and Wiener Schnitzel. And then y'all went to the other thing. I was going to say Roddy Piper hitting snooker with them coconuts.
Mm.
That was a big thing back in my day. You know, I'm with the old boy. You know, that was, you know, we old school like that.
But for me, my favorite.
Yeah, for me, it's the nip and tuck rule.
Oh, the tuck rule.
Yeah, for the Raiders that, you know, when Brady did that, when they called it, they gave it to him. The NFL is always really against Al Davis anyway. And, you know, for them to make that call on that play, I think that changed the course of history for the Raiders and the Patriots.
Well, the Raiders got back to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, James, no doubt. I mean, this is part of Brady's, like, origin story, you know? No doubt. Oh, your radio's on. Well, thanks for finding our show. So, little callback to earlier in the show, we were asking the question, if you actually had a fast food restaurant you could put in your house, like Devontae Adams had the Taco Bell from his commercials, Taco Bell in the house, which fast food restaurant? We did not bring up Carl's Jr.
Nope.
Bad job by us.
I've never had it.
I probably wouldn't put that in.
I've never had it either.
They had those fun commercials back in the day, right?
They did, like Paris Hilton and the sexy commercials.
Those commercials were something.
They were fun. They were fun to watch.
All right, I love that he said Roddy Piper hitting Jimmy Snuka with coconuts. Meanwhile, Jimmy Snuka actually killed somebody and got away with it, apparently.
Yeah, that was real life.
According to all reports, that was complicated.
Yeah, didn't make the list. make the list.
Favorite wrestler as a kid by 50 miles. Superfly.
He's a wrestler that actually may not have turned heel ever.
He definitely did.
He did? Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You guys want to keep going up memory lane?
Well, you know what? I was a little disappointed. We make this big deal about John Cena turning heel that EJ throws out in the middle of the show. You know, Cena used to start out as a heel. I was like, what?
Yeah, but 20 years ago.
No, I can't even believe you. I thought John Cena came out with his jorts and was always like the good guy. I had no idea that he even started out that way. I was taken aback.
I believe his next appearance on Raw, if I'm not mistaken, is the anniversary of when he turned babyface, which is stunning. Like March, it's going to be March 17th. He's going to appear. And that was the time he turned babyface, and he was there for 22 years.
Yeah. And that brings it all full circle now, doesn't it? Thank you, DJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. You guys are awesome on the phones today. The Weedos, the coffee drinkers in the chat, doing a great job. Thanks for participating in the show. Just really, really fun stuff. Tomorrow we're back with a whole new menu of cool things to talk about. See you then.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.